Is there an old white one without stripes? I don't want stripes all over me.
Never heard such nonsense. We didn't think what colour clothes we had on in the war. Lucky to have any clothes at all with everything on coupons. And besides...
This program for an official government announcement. An enemy missile attack has been launched against this country. It is estimated that the missiles will arrive in approximately 3 minutes. 3 minutes.
God almighty, Dutch. There's only 3 minutes to go.
Hold it, I'll just
stay
get the washing.
Indoors and take
Come cover. Back, you stupid bitch, and
Lie
get
down.
In the shelter.
How dare you talk to me like that, James?
Shut up and get in. And
there's no need to forget our manners just because there's a war on.
Shut up, I'm trying to listen.
Take shelter immediately.
I've never heard such language in all my life.
For God's sake, shut up!
Oh dear, I've left the oven on!
Get in!
The cake will be burned!
Lie down. Keep away from windows. Cover your head and eyes. Do not look at the sky or through windows. Take shelter immediately. Repeat, stay indoors. Do not leave your home.
Hello, shortwave fans, and welcome to the UVB76 podcast. I am Web Weasel, your host, and tonight I have with me both of my co-hosts. We have Presented in 4D.
Hola.
And we have Danix, our post-production master. Say hi, Danix.
Hello.
Okay. We've had such a great response for our first podcast. Thank you, everyone who listened. We've had over 370-odd downloads, as far as we can tell at this stage, which is fantastic. We didn't expect anyone to listen to our ramble on Skype that we mixed up and put online, so thank you very much for listening last time, and if you're a new listener, thank you very much for joining us this time. Also, a few more thank yous to get out of the way quickly. We've got to thank Laid, of course, for putting up the UVB76 repeater. Of course, I've got to remind you of the URL. It's uvb-76.blogspot.com. Yeah, thank you very much, Laid. Without you, most of us wouldn't be here in UVB at all, so yeah, great. We also want to thank SG, who most of you probably know from the forum and from IRC. He put a link for our podcast up on his website, Security Guardian, so thank you very much, SG. We really appreciate it. Right, of course, we're going to have... some show notes put up tonight to guide you through some of the links to the longer versions of the recordings that we're going to sample in the show. So if you want to find them, have a look at them on uvb-76.cba.pl, where you'll find the podcast website, of course. Okay, and tonight we're going to give you a rundown on everything that's happened with UVB transmission-wise since it really piqued its interest in June this year. And Presented is going to give us a summary of the activity over the last couple of months. Presented?
Alright, just a little quick summary. We've had all VUA, or upper sideband transmissions on 4625 suppressed lower sideband, like normal. Typically every day, some days recently have been skipped. We've really had UVB until about September 7th, 10th area, and recently it's all been MDZHB.
Константин, Иван, Краткий,
Yeah, they're typically from 6 a.m. to 1700 or 1200 to 1600 sometimes, all UTC. They're, yeah, typically one message a day. Sometimes there's two. It's really rare, but that's really how much there is.
Okay, on the 30th of September, we had seven messages, didn't we, guys? And that really surprised us.
Seven was a lot. I don't know why there could have been that many that day. Obviously, something important probably was going on. Haven't looked into that day, see if anything happened in Russia, but there probably was something going on which could easily be shown as interesting.
I had a look in the news myself, and there wasn't anything put out publicly that really stood out that would cause seven messages of whatever UVB is, but yeah, someone had a busy day, didn't they, that day?
Their voices must hurt.
Okay, after the 30th of September, UVB calms down, and we tend to get one or two messages a day, usually around lunchtime or so. The messages have been pretty steady, but we've had a few other interesting things happen. Especially through September and October and ongoing, we've had many stoppages.
These could easily just be equipment failures, you never know, really.
Well, yeah, we're not sure. Some of them seem to be almost timed, planned maintenance periods. We get the buzzer stop for 2 hours at a time, then come back for 2 hours, then go off for 2 hours, and then come back and it's absolutely fine. It's very odd. We've definitely had a few periods where it's been entire days when we've lost the buzzer, so really puts the dead man's hand theory to rest. There's no way this thing can be used as a dead man's hand. We've had stoppages of many days, so sorry everyone who's scared of nuclear war, it's not the case with this one. Anyway, I'll give a summary. Through September, we definitely had a lot of outages. September the 1st to September the 2nd, then September the 2nd, for a few hours again, we had a lot of stoppages that day, and that
I don't
was
even
day
think that could be considered a stoppage, since the cycle of continue what we were saying, and I'll add on to it.
Yeah, exactly. But that was the interesting day, because we got Swan Lake played over the system, which was, yeah.
Dancing with little swans, yeah. It was, I believe, I'm not completely sure, it was 10 times of a buzz, and then it played just a little static, then Swan Lake, and then more buzzes. This could potentially just be a little test period, or testing anything, really, due to how clear Swan Lake was on USB. Like, if you're a radio amateur or just a shortwave listener, you know how on single sideband, how low quality the audio is. But they were playing really high quality music, and we'll probably have a recording here.
Yeah, we'll play the recording in a second. Yeah, it's impressive. I listened to the clip just before the show to refresh myself, and yeah, it is very surprising. As you say, doing it on single sideband like that is impressive. So that day's a bit odd. Lots of stoppages, but Swan Lake really stood out as an exception. We then go for a few days, September the 3rd to September the 8th. Now, that's definitely a long period of time. A few stops during the day, maybe for a day or two, you know, you can understand maybe routine maintenance or something went wrong with the transmitter or something along those lines. But a stop for that long, well, dead man's hand, no way. When it came back, it was a lot more powerful. The volume of the buzzer coming through in the reception was a lot better, and it was noticeable for radio operators around Europe.
I could even pick it up over here in New York. It was that good. It was probably, I could pick it up for about half an hour. I never even moved out of my seat, so I could grab my camera and get a recording of it. I was, like, frozen in my chair. Wow, I actually just picked this up. It's quite incredible.
Remember being there at the time and your excitement. It was amusing.
Well, no, that was a different time, actually. It just after the first podcast, I picked it up, and I actually didn't get it recorded, but Wood Weasel here was here to hear it. But when it came back, it was extremely loud.
Yeah, imagine the irony. We're on Skype. The buzz is being broadcast from near Moscow. He receives it in New York and broadcasts it back over the internet through Skype to me. I think I get a QSL card from you for that one, don't I?
You never know. Actually, we're planning on emailing the Russian embassy here, see if I could get QSL from it.
I think it'd be worth a try. Probably get no response, but you never know, man. Anyway, since the buzzers come back with much greater power generator, as far as we can tell, much more powerful transmitter, we've had a lot of reports on the IC of the buzzer being picked up in all kinds of places in the US, including in the middle of the US, which is impressive. So thank you, all the guys.
It was actually picked up on the US, middle of the US. What we have in the United States, it's also in Europe, so if you might be able to hear it, it doesn't sound like ours. We have something called CODAR. CODAR, excuse me. It's coastal radar. It's for wave height and length, speed, etc., and it goes through a whooshing sound once every second, so it's kind of like a few every second. And Big D in the IRC, he picked it up, UVB 76 up, the same day that I had gotten it, but he didn't even get the CODAR. It was completely drowned out by the buzz. That's how good the propagation was, at least on that one day.
Yeah, I remember being on IRC at the time for that one as well. Yeah, he was rather excited. Yeah, it's impressive for it to propagate that far. It's quite incredibly impressive. It's one of the ultimate achievements with shortwave to reach basically completely across to the other side of the world. Anyway, comes back with high power, and then we have another outage, September the 9th to September the 14th, so even longer. Nothing particularly special about that period. Just no buzz at all. Strangely enough, most of the time there was a carrier signal. All through the outages, we've actually received a carrier signal of some kind. It's been very rare for there to be no carrier signal being broadcast at all, and usually the only time we don't receive it is because there's extremely bad propagation or there's a lot of commercial interference either on the stream. Though most of the time we can verify we're either hearing the buzzer or hearing a carrier signal through our users in Europe who join us on IRC and the forum and keep us informed when we get outages. Moving on, carries on, more outages, September the 24th to October the 6th, and then October the 15th to October the 19th. Then, once again, October the 27th to November the 4th. We carried on monitoring, and during the late period of October and November, the voice messages were still being broadcasted despite the buzzer, and there was always a carrier signal between this period as well. When it returns on November the 4th, the buzzer sound has changed.
Yes.
I'll play you a sample of the longer buzzer now.
Dan, explain how it is different.
The buzzer has the longer sound.
Yeah.
It's over a second.
Yep. The original buzzer was 0.85 seconds long, and the new tone is now 1.2 seconds long. The distance between each buzz is about the same, but the longer buzz has been constant ever since. It hasn't changed back to the standard buzz of 0.8 seconds. So this is interesting. Why would the buzz change like this? What could possibly cause a channel marker, if that's what we're assuming the buzz to be, to change its length?
I'd like just to put this in here. The same process had gone through with S32, the squeaky wheel, back in 2007. At the end of 2007, it had completely disappeared from the airwaves, and then it came back with a really different pattern. Instead of the doo-doo, doo-doo, it was like...
Yes.
High, low, high, high, low, high, low. And it was slow, and no space between anything.
See, it just adds to the mystery of what the buzzer really is, doesn't it?
Yeah. Just to see how it mimics other sister stations. I think this a similar thing has happened with the PIP. I can't be positive about that.
Well, once your activity on UVB settles down, we're going to have to diversify out the little group, aren't we, and get us monitoring and covering the PIP and the squeaky wheel and see if we can find any correlation. I mean... we read the newsletter entries from E2K, and they're great, and I'm sure the guys are actually monitoring them are collating a lot more information, but as far as I can tell, what they're transcribing isn't going up on the internet anywhere, so...
Any listeners in Europe, you can pick up the PIP anywhere in Europe, so if you have a shortwave radio, please join us, and we really love your help for anything. I'm begging you.
Well, it's the key to what essentially, you know, we're all curious about is what are the messages that they're sending. The more information we can get, the more we can work on the cryptography of them with frequency analysis and other cracking methods, and we can get an idea of what's going on. Maybe we just have to try. So if you're out there and you're recording and you're listening and you're transcribing, please get on the forum and join us. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, guys. Also, all through this time, the MDZHB messages have been pretty much uniform, haven't they? I mean,
same.
We've been having one every day, on average.
Just about, yeah. Similar and, content.
And we've been going through a rota of about 5 or 6 different speakers, as far as we can tell.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We call them Olga, Dimitri, the trainee, who else?
I think we're still arguing over the nicknames for the other ones, because we don't hear them quite so often. The trainee we've only heard a couple of times, haven't we?
Yeah. We've had him in something that we'll talk about a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. So, we've got Olga, who's our main speaker. We tend to hear her more than anyone else, and... what can I say? You've heard the stereotypical Russian woman kind of voice on films and media, and she sounds exactly like that. Poor girl had a sore throat in one of the messages. We'll play you the sample now. And it's been interesting listening to her and the other ones. They've changed their mood, which you can definitely hear in the way they speak their messages. We've also had one or two little oddities, haven't we, guys? There was the day of the argument.
They might just be a family. You never know.
But we had one particular day where a guy comes on, starts his message, and gets about halfway through. And you hear someone shouting from behind. He leaves the mic, some sort of argument that's barely audible, but definitely there, happens. And he comes back down and starts the message again, and he sounds rather angry when he reads out his message for that day.
If we have a recording, that we'll have it here. I'm not sure if we do or not. But
yeah, I've been looking around for that one, and I haven't found it. I've listened to it, though, so it must be out there somewhere. Yeah, so hopefully we'll be able to include that one. Okay, so we're going to take a break for this bit, and we're going to play a bit of UVB76-inspired music from one of our forum users.
SG. And then,
yep, SG. And we're going to come back after a short break. Okay, that was SG's track. Thanks, SG, for letting us play that. Right. Okay. November the 11th, 2010. 10 to 2 UTC. We suddenly hear this noise. Okay, after that, we get static for about 8 minutes, so we don't want to play that. Then we hear this. As you can guess, we all pretty much went nuts about this. What could be going on? Okay, carries on. We get bunches of static and we get a few bursts of interesting conversation. So we're going to play you the next two.
Дежурный по утренней Надежда, правщик Николаев. У нас пропал суд, это, за судаком, Надежда Судак. Вулкан, он тоже пропал. Сейчас вулкан разбирается, в чем причина.
Еще раз, я же проверил,
что вулкан, да. Вулкан, Судак. Да, вулкан, Судак, да. Там где-то между вулканом и Судаком какая-то проблема.
Хорошо, мы с нами же вулкан. У нас там тоже тренировки,
не понял. Ну да, я должен с этим узлом отзвониться. Они должны. Да, они с моей вышли на вас. Я за Литаков хотел вас уточнить. У нас Литаков только дежурный механик дежурный. Ему надо звонить-то. Я понял.
Алло, говорите.
Простите, что у нас на приколе?
Занят,
я понял. А где он? Ну ладно, сейчас.
Выдержи в другую углу, они не сидят.
А, ну давайте в другую углу.
Судак, 23. Я здесь, Судак.
Не ответил мне ни дежурный по связи, ни оперативный дежурный. Я просил оперативного дежурного, сказали, что он сидит вместе с дежурным по связи, что он занят. Дежурный по связи, Надежда, правящий класс. Я вас не понял. Сейчас за реальное время вы являетесь контрольный звонок или как?
Еще раз его.
Вы контрольный звонок, вы сейчас так
являетесь? Да.
А, все понял, пожалуйста, вас не понял.
Успел.
Иди на аппарате. Единица, 2 балла.
Богданов, 17.07, получен контрольный звонок от дежурного по связи с УЗО «Надежда».
And then at 3:32 UTC, you finally get the buzzer back, as normal, as if nothing had happened. Right, guys, what's your opinion? What do you think happened that day? Anyone?
Oh, sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Edit this part out, Danix. But, what I think happened, it could be something like, what is it? What am I thinking of?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It could be like... Fail. Edit this part out. I failed there. Edit all that space out.
Yeah, what happened then?
Yeah, I was ignoring you. I wasn't listening. I was looking. I was reading something. Anyway, edit that part out. But, moving along, what I think happened, what could possibly be, what's the word I'm looking for? An accident. Like, they could have easily just bumped something and oops, wrong frequency, wrong button to transmit. They thought that they were using, like, an encrypted frequency and accidentally used the actual voice channel for UVB.
So are you saying UVB or not?
Yeah, I'm saying that's UVB.
Okay, so we've got a vote. You reckon UVB. That's interesting. Danix, what's your opinion? UVB or not?
Yes.
You reckon it's UVB as well? That's interesting. I'm a bit either way. It's difficult to tell. Well,
from what I'm seeing, from the signal strength and the clarity compared to the voice messages, and they're just basically proportional in some ways, and it's like it obviously came out of the same general area.
Yeah, so it's possibly from the UVB site. It could be from another military station in that area that just happened to broadcast over at the same time. I mean, we can't be sure. The difficult bit is we can hear the buzzer all the way through. It's extremely quiet and muted in the background, but it's there. So we might have both radio signals coming through exactly the same, which is doubtful.
Which it could be two things just being transmitted from the same transmitter. Like, you can have that happening, or have something going on in the background while you're transmitting something. It's really simple, yeah. Just lay over, just mix it together. It's really simple equipment, and nothing really special is needed to do it. Or just, if the live mic theory is true, which I don't necessarily think is true, they could just move the buzzer area away and talk into it, which I think would be even more unlikely, because if it was a live mic, first of all, people wouldn't want to be in there, and second of all, you wouldn't just move it away, you'd actually turn it off.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? It's almost like the assumption that the buzzer is on the live mic has come from when they probably left the live mic from the messages on, or have switched it on by mistake, so you're getting both transmissions at once, because they always turn off the buzzer for the broadcast messages. So
I have a theory for the actual circuit of it, what it is. I'll just try and explain this the best I can. It's a live mic, which is connected into a transmitter, and also connected to that transmitter is some sort of splitter, which is connected to a computer, which generates the buzzing noise, potentially data, which I'll get into later, possibly, hopefully.
Yeah, we're planning to cover that in the next episode, I reckon. Yeah, so we've got the change. It's mind-boggling. I can't be sure what happened that day. Piracy, pirate broadcast, maybe. It takes a lot of power to broadcast something like that, to be so strong and dominant over the UVB signal from the same area.
I've seen pirate radio stations transmit from just south of me, and I can't pick them up. So
exactly. Your average pirate radio station, even your average really, really good ham, is probably not going to have the wattage available to broadcast that kind of thing. And also, where would you get that kind of sound information, however you want to call it, to broadcast? I mean, it's not like anyone who's doing a pirate broadcast, you just broadcast music or playback conversation or videos of YouTube or something, you know?
Yeah, right. Even if you listen to it, it sounds like people are talking and they're signing off a mic. Like, if you've ever listened to something like a police radio or something, the same sounds occur. So it can easily just be like a two-way communication system.
Yeah, from my working in telephone systems that I've done, they sound like PBX tones to me, but I would guess that those kind of communication tones are quite similar in other systems, like two-way radios and so on. So we can't be sure of the system they were using. It might be they've plugged their local broadcast radio that's on a completely different frequency, and they've managed to flip it over to the UVB frequency, so we've just got that instead of, say, a PBX telephone exchange, which is what it sounds like to me. So we're not looking at pirate. We're possibly looking at mistake broadcast from another military radio station in the same area. We're possibly looking at a mistake at UVB. There's no way we can be sure. What we can be sure is we can hear the buzzer all the way through, and the buzzer suddenly becomes muted, as if it's coming from the same broadcast tower. So generally, the three of us believe it was a mistake at UVB. We have asked around and got several different people to have an attempt at a translation of what was heard during the recording.
All these translations have found extremely similar things.
Yeah, in general, the translations that we found from other attempts on the internet, not related to any sites we post on or you know, chat on, have come up with very similar translations. And the general gist of what we've got is the first conversation seems to be determining that something's gone broken, and they can't communicate with a certain unit. And the word that's been common across this is Vulcan or volcano. And that's been translated by several different people, including the person who translated it on our forum for us. So we're looking at this as being probably reliable, but we remain suitably sceptical. However, they know something's wrong and something's broken. Whether they know they're broadcasting everything over UVB's frequency at this stage, we're not sure. And in the next couple of conversations, that carries on. It sounds like someone summons an engineer to get the transmitter or the mistake to the transmitter fixed, and there's a complaint because the engineer isn't available. And they constantly try and summon up the volcano unit, and are very frustrated that they can't actually get hold of the volcano unit. There's also an interesting mention of a unit called Pike Perch, which is quite an amusing translation of a unit name. So, what do you reckon, guys? Does the translation tally for you? Do you reckon it's accurate? Do you reckon we should rely on what we've read on the internet?
I've seen multiple translations, probably 2, 3, or 4 of the same message, and they all seem to, they're different, but they all have the same premises, which is basically that. So I'd say that they're all accurate.
Okay, we'll take it as that then. We're looking at our theory. The UVB 76 podcast reckons there was a mistake at MDZHB broadcast. They managed to plug something wrong in, and we heard all the military argument about what had gone wrong live over the air, and we loved every second of it. It knocked our socks off.
Dear Russia, been so much fix your circuits.
It hasn't been quite so much fun after that. We've gone back to almost regularity with our daily messages, roughly in the middle of the afternoon sort of time-ish. It's been intending to drift later in the afternoon, the last few messages. In the late of October and early of November, we were looking at roughly 2 in the afternoon.
Oh, hold on. Before you continue, I'd just like to add something in from what we were thinking earlier. It seems to have a similar thing as a few times with the V2A Attention broadcast from Cuba. They've had a similar problem where it comes the transmitter of Radio Habana, Cuba, is the same transmitter for V2A.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
What they did is they actually played Radio Habana over V2A, and that could just be something similar.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I do remember reading about that briefly. Okay. So the last couple of days, we had 2 messages on November the 10th. November the 11th is another gap day, as is the 13th, we believe, and the 14th, 16th and 17th. So a couple of them, we've begun to hear the start of the message, and then it's been drowned out by static, so we can't be sure what actually happened. And it's been interesting. On the evenings, Lade's receiver has definitely been receiving a lot of static and a lot of commercial broadcast interference. And it's interesting how, as we've changed through the year, the propagation, as of course the Earth tilt changes and we get more darkness, has drastically changed Lade's ability to receive in the late evening. While Danix in Poland is still long able to receive when Lade reception is blocked. What's the latest you've been able to receive it so far, Danix? You've managed to have it clear all the way through, I think, haven't you?
Yes. It was one time when I can only receive the transmissions.
Yeah, you were the one exception of several different sources, weren't you?
This could easily mean one thing, too. It doesn't necessarily mean propagation. It could always mean the antenna could be directed somewhere. So, Pavarovo is northwest of Moscow, right?
Yep.
Yes.
So it'd have to be directed southeast, so that wouldn't work. But it could be directed to someplace south, southwest of it, basically.
See, that's what has not convinced me about the directional antenna change too much, because if Danix is still able to receive it, it's more like a local source is blocking LADE, because considering their relative positions, I'd be surprised, considering the coverage arc of antennas, but it's an entire possibility.
Another possibility is could be easily be moved. The transmission site could have been moved between the outage site times.
Yeah, it is extremely true. Yeah, it's one of the things we're wondering is, has that been happening? Is this is what's going on with UVP? We're still having the outages and pauses today. Today's November the 19th, and this morning and this afternoon we had two hour outages of the buzzer, where no buzzing at all. And that leaves us curious. With exactly 2 hours and two of them, that's deliberately done. It's timed, it's planned. It's like they're doing it for maintenance or changing things or experimenting in some way.
I'd really like to put together a new triangulation attempt, since the last one was from 1997. Considering we have better equipment now, we could probably get a more specific area, because we've seen real pictures of the real UVB-76 site. We've compared them to satellite photos, and they are identical. And it's boarded off, uninhabitable. You can't be in there. It's not where the transmission site's not where we found it is. It's somewhere else. It's not in Pavarovo, or at least in the buildings.
Well, yeah, it's difficult, isn't
yes.
it? I mean, we've looked at various different photos and threads online. There's a lot of stuff on Russian forums, and of course, most of you who are listening have probably seen some of the pictures on English Russia that claim to be UVB-76.
Which are not. Just to verify that those are not UVB-76. If I'm not mistaken, either English Russia or the site source that they got it from said that it's not. And even if it is, it still supports the theory that that's not where UVB-76 is.
Yeah. I mean, we can pick up the general location, because we do get good reports of people all across Europe, and we know it is still roughly in the Moscow northwest area. So if it has moved from its original location in Pavarovo? Is that how you say it?
Pavarovo.
Pavarovo. In Russian.
Well done, Danik. That's showing us.
I can't
roll my R's like that. Anyway, so yeah, there's potential it's moved. There's potential they're upgrading equipment. There's potential that maybe the ionospheric research explanation is true, and that's why the length of the buzzer has changed. Although, you know, looking at the data and wondering about why they send voice messages, it doesn't seem like a plausible explanation, but maybe that's exactly what they're doing. Either way, we've now brought you up to date with all the real recent activity of UVB over the last couple of months. This is what's brought all the interest on the internet. This is what's ended up with it being posted on 4chan multiple times, and Reddit and many other sites, and UVB really causing lots of interest and driving you here to be listening to us, the guys who spend a lot of our time listening to the buzzer, waiting for those messages and the oddities and the odd moments. Thank you for joining us tonight. We've got some great info to tell you in the upcoming podcast. We've all got various interests ourselves. I'm not a shortwave specialist, but both Danix and Presented in 4D are both really into their shortwave. I'm more into computing, so I've got a good idea in cryptography. So we've got several different little bits we'd like to do in addition to the reporting of the coverage on UVB-76. If we're going to be doing a regular podcast, we need to pad it out with more than just buzzes, unfortunately. So we've got loads of material coming up for you in the next few shows. We're hoping to get LADE on, of course. We want to give him an interview. And there's some absolutely fantastic guys of the IRC who've got some great ideas for little introductory sets on stuff like how to build your own shortwave receiver, one-time pad cryptography, all that kind of stuff. So, once again, thank you for listening. Thank you, LADE, for inspiring us all and getting us involved. Thank you, SG, for putting your link up on the Security Generation website and for letting us play your music in the episode. We love hearing your input, everybody. We've had so much response on the forums and on the IRC. Please join us. We're there a lot of the time. Let us know what you think of the show. Let us know if you've got ideas, how you'd like us to take in the direction, what we got wrong, what we got right. You can always find us. IRC channel is UVB-76 on MIBIT.com. In the forums at UVB76.freeforums.org. The show notes, which I'm hopefully going to type up in a minute, will be UVB-76.cba.pl, where you can find all the links to all the samples we used in the show today as well, because we only played you short clips, some of them are a lot longer, and there's a lot of other oddities and weird sounds listed there for you to listen to as well. Thank you very much for listening. You want to say goodbye, everybody?
All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for listening. See ya.
All right. We're going to play you out with an appropriately Cold War themed song back from the 80s. If you don't know it, Google it, look up the lyrics and find out what it's about. And also, Presented made a little surprise for us, hasn't he?
Now, if you're any experienced or maybe even inexperienced shortwave listener, you've often probably heard the sound. It's slow scan television. It's been used for probably 50 years now. And we made ourselves a little sort of QSL card. So after our fun song, get out your MMSSTV or whatever you use to decode your SSTV transmissions and take this one, print it out, hang it on your wall, show it to your family and friends.
Right, that's it. That's the show. We're done. Goodbye, everybody.
You and I in a little toy shop, buy a bag of balloons with the money we've got, set them free at the break of dawn, till one by one they were gone. Back at base, box in the software, flash the message, something's out there, floating in the summer sky, 99 red balloons go by. We'll be right back. Go!